23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Table before me, in the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
All right, we're going to embark on this topic of joy tonight. And I think this is a real issue for us, because at the end of the day, everyone wants to find happiness, right? Everyone wants to be happy. Doesn't matter who you are, you want to be happy. It doesn't matter if you might say, well, I want other people to be happy. But there's also something in you that says, I want to be happy. Some people we see around us and we think they don't look like they want to be happy. There's some people that we kind of think they just look like they want to be miserable. But of course we know that people want to be happy. Perhaps some people, maybe even you, feel like you can't be happy. Maybe it's not that you don't want to be happy, you just feel like that's something you can't do. Some people we know are dying to be happy, right? Some people are so eager in their life to push the boundaries, to have a good time. Those guys that are adrenaline junkies, that are doing crazy things, they're pushing the boundaries, so eager to be happy that even risking their life doesn't matter. And then we know there's some people who are actually killing themselves because of issues with happiness, right? With suicide. Feeling like either they can't obtain happiness or maybe that death will bring a level of peace. This idea of joy and happiness is a real one for us. It's a real thing in our lives. Some people even blame God that they can't be happy. There feels like a tension between following God and happiness. Like, happiness and holiness are on opposite extremes, right? Sometimes we feel like that. Like, to be happy actually means to disobey God. Like, the things that we want to do that are going to make us happy, sometimes we feel like the only way to be happy is to do things that God doesn't want us to do. And we feel like happiness and holiness are in conflict with each other. We can't follow God and be happy. Sometimes we feel like that. Don't we? I don't know if you felt like that. I have some great news as we think about this series, and the news is that happiness and holiness are not in conflict. In fact, the Bible commands us to be joyful. I don't know what you think of that idea. The Bible commands us to be joyful. I think one thing we think is, well, no one can command you to be happy, right? It's not like your boss at work can come to you and say, I command you to be happy and that's it. It's going to solve your problems. And you're going to go, oh, that's all I needed. Someone to command, tell me I needed to be happy. But throughout the Bible, we see God saying we should be rejoicing for joy. Psalm chapter 37, verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Throughout the Bible, God talks about the idea of being joyful. There's no conflict with following God and having joy. In fact, as we unpack this series, I want to say the opposite to that. That true and lasting joy can only be found in God. In fact, I want to take a moment just to define this idea of happiness and separate it using the words joy and happiness to define two different things. Okay, I want to say, when I'm talking about joy, what I'm talking about is a deep thing in us that gives us satisfaction even when we're not happy. Right? Because in this life, happiness can be taken away from us in an instant. Now, the things that we find happiness in, well, they can go straight away. Not that we shouldn't be happy in them, but happiness is fleeting. And so when I talk about the word joy, I want to talk about the idea of something that is deeper, something that is eternal. And so we're going to think about this through the series. And we're going to ask some questions like, where do I look for joy? Where do I find joy? How much does joy cost? How do I get it? And how does it last forever? Those are things we're going to unpack. And what I'm going to ask for you is we're going to unpack this in different pieces. So tonight is not going to be the full picture. And I want to encourage you to be part of this series to hear each piece of this puzzle of thinking about joy. I think where we got to start when we think about joy is we need to have some proper perspective. And so today we're going to do a little bit of hard work as we think about perspective in thinking about joy. And I think this psalm, Psalm 23, gives us a little bit of that perspective. In some ways, it's one of those psalms that we kind of feel like has that joyful vibe, doesn't it? It talks about green pastures and still waters, and it sounds like a joyous, calm, peaceful place, a place we want to be. But also amongst this is some perspective that we need to think about. So let's work our way through this psalm. If you want to be open at Psalm 23, we're going to spend a bit of time in this psalm tonight. Starting off right at the start, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. We talked last week about the idea that David was a shepherd. And so we know certainly that when he talks about shepherding, that he knows what he talks about. Though I think that over the years we've kind of gained this picture that that displays what this psalm is saying. The idea of the Lord is my shepherd. Maybe you've seen a cross stitch somewhere that has this psalm on it with nice green fields. But there's a real ruggedness to what David is talking about here. We know that when David goes in to talk to King Saul about fighting Goliath, he says, I have, to protect my feet, my sheep, I have fought off lions and bears. Right? The idea of being a shepherd is one of a fierce protector. And that's something that David would know fully when he thinks about this idea. This isn't the picture of little Bo Peep and her sheep, right? This is the picture of a protector. We also know that sheep are dumb animals, right? This is not a fluffy little, happy little lamb. This is a picture of an animal with not a whole lot of intelligence. In some ways, David is saying, God's fierce protector and we're not really that bright, right? When he says the Lord is my shepherd. Sheep are a little bit slow, right? I don't know if you thought much about what a sheep does to protect itself. There's not much a sheep has to protect itself but run. Even if you think about a ram, I don't know if I was thinking about this as I was preparing my sermon, a ram's horn. Right, I got a picture here of a ram. A ram's horn just seems the wrong way around for protection, doesn't it? Like, that could have done a lot more use the other way around, right? Whereas this guy here, he's carrying some serious protection with him. We see this image in this psalm. God is a fierce protector. And we are needy. We need him. You feeling the joy yet? It doesn't sound very joyous at this stage, this psalm that sounds like peaceful and quiet. We're going on. He says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the paths, the right paths, for his name's sake. The psalm sounds lovely. Lovely and peaceful. Sounds like a day at a day spa, doesn't it? Green pastures, quiet waters. Until we start thinking about how a sheep is led. The classic picture of a shepherd is holding a crooked stick there. What do you think that stick is used for? On one hand, they travel around, so he probably used it as a walking stick. But the shepherd is actually carrying a stick there so he can help guide his sheep. If you think about the area that David's talking about, the area that David was a shepherd in is going to be an area that it's going to be hard work sometimes finding these green pastures. This shepherd is taking his sheep through some difficult times to get to these green pastures. In fact, David says that. He goes on to talk about the valley of the shadow of death. He talks about the hard times that the shepherd is going to take his sheep through. And the shepherd needs to guide his sheep through those times. I have a small dog. I don't know if you've met my dog, Stodgy. Stodgy is a small Maltese Shih Tzu. And at times, when I take my dog for a walk, my dog needs some guidance. Because she has small dog syndrome. Right? We're walking down the road. Doesn't matter what size dog comes along. In fact, it seems like the bigger the dog, the louder she feels she needs to be. And I feel like I have a responsibility to my dog to lead her. And sometimes that actually means pulling back hard on a leash that she's attached to. Sometimes protection requires some level of force. We see that in the form of a shepherd. And we see that same thing for us. God loves us so much that sometimes he needs to whack us on the head and get us back in line. Feeling the joy yet? There's parts of underneath this psalm that doesn't quite feel the same way as the surface level reading of it is. But the psalm is saying what you hear it saying. It is talking about a joyous place. It is talking about lying down in green pastures. I don't know if you've thought about a sheep lying down in green pastures. A sheep is not going to lie down in green pastures if it's hungry. Okay? You imagine you're traveling as a sheep and you finally get to some green pastures that you haven't been around for a while. The first thing you're going to do is eat up. We're talking about an image of some satisfied sheep. They've got there, they've eaten their fill, and now they're lying down. It's an image of still waters. It's an image of going through a valley of the shadow of death. Right? That seems pretty full on, but what does David say there? He says he's not scared. It says, yes, I've got some enemies in my life, but I'm feasting in their face. Right? That's what he says. This psalm does talk about this joy that David has, even though these other things are happening. But we do want to think about and make sure we have proper perspective. When we come to stories like this in the Bible, to psalms like this in the Bible, it's easy to think, well, that it's just not true. I'm not feeling the green pastures. I'm not around the still waters. It's easy to overlook the fact that there's a story behind this of a God that's a fierce protector of a people who are in great need. But then we get to what I want to focus on tonight, which I think is one of the most important bits of thinking about proper perspective. It's there in verse 3 that we just read. It says, "He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake." Why is God guiding us along the right paths? Why is God leading by still waters? It's actually for his own name's sake. It's for his own glory. It's so that people will look to him and see how great he is. This is something we've looked at just through our last series as we thought about lives of worship and how we want to give all of ourselves to God. And that's what God wants of us. It's all about God. It's actually the opposite message to what the world around us, particularly if you think about advertising on television, it's completely the opposite to what we see there. I don't know if you remember a Coke Zero ad that came up. It was kind of called The Perfect Breakup, starring our hero, right? And it just the idea of this guy that comes in to break up with his girlfriend, but everything just goes right for him. And she just says, "Of course you want to break up because there's lots of other women that want you, and I'm happy with that, and that's cool." And then he rides out of there with explosions on his Harley Davidson, and he's the man. And that's the way we think we want joy. That's what the world around us tells us we should want. And often, if we're to be truthful with ourselves, we wouldn't mind life to work out that way sometimes. We kind of want the world to revolve around us sometimes. But the message of the Bible is clear. It's all about God. Everything is for God's glory. And throughout the Bible, so many times it comes back to saying, all for the glory of God. How does that make you feel with that idea of everything is for God's glory? Sometimes I think it can make us feel a little uneasy. It can make it sound like God's just a little bit selfish, can't it? I mean, people will say to you, you shouldn't do things for your own glory. You shouldn't try to seek praise for the things you've done. But the Bible says God wants to be praised for the things he's done. So why can't I seek praise for the things I've done? And why can God? I'll tell you why. It's because he's God. And when you create a universe, then you can start seeking some praise. Right? I'm not just talking about when you don't wash your hair for a few weeks. That's an ecosystem. But when you create a universe, then you can start calling for some praise. When you speak light without a light source, then you can start asking for some glory. When you create life, when you create a human being from dust, that's not, don't be smart. When you create a human being from dust, then you can start seeking some glory. Why can God want everything to point to him? Because he deserves it. And we can't start thinking about the idea of joy till we have the right perspective of God. Deep and meaningful joy is only going to come, firstly, when we find that perspective. And when we try to claim glory in this life, well, we're really just taking credit for God's work, aren't we? When we do things in this life, when we try to build something that's great and people are going to look at it and marvel at us, aren't we just using the things God has given us and trying to claim that it's our own? Aren't we just using the skills and abilities and opportunities that God has allowed us to have to claim it for our own? And God deserves the glory because it's His. And that's why we shouldn't be trying to seek it. And to find real joy, we're going to need to first wrestle with this idea of God deserves glory. We need to first recognize who God is and that everything is for His glory. Now, even that, I know it doesn't really sound joyful all the time. It sounds like, how can that be a life of joy, giving someone else glory? Let me say, there's a couple of reasons why I think we need to start here before we think about glory. And I think it is a hard place to start as we think about joy. And I think it is a hard place to start. I think it can feel like, well, we haven't really started to get to the meat of joy, but I think this is the foundational starting point. Let me tell you why this is good news. First of all, it's good news that you are not the center of the universe, as much as you may desire it to be. Because it takes the responsibility off you for the whole world, for the things around you. It takes some of the pressure of needing people to see you always in a good light and always worrying about what do people think. Often, our biggest struggle with things around us, our biggest frustrations are actually because we feel like we're the center of the universe. For example, when you are stuck in traffic, right, it's everyone else's fault that you're all on the road at the same time. It's a huge irony that you are stuck in a car there, you left work at the same time as everyone else, but it's everyone else's fault. And if they all got off the road for you, life would be okay. Or they're just in the wrong lane. It's when things don't go well at work and you feel like you're the center of the universe and people just shouldn't treat you that way. You have these rights to be treated a certain way, and sometimes we can get so worked up about that we actually cause our own problems. It can actually be releasing to realize we're not the center of the universe. Next, it's helpful to remember that our joy brings God glory. That's something we see in this psalm. It's God is glorified by this scene of joy in David's life. In fact, God wants our joy, not our begrudging submission. Right? God wants us to be joyful in serving Him, not just serve Him because we have to or out of some obligation. He wants us to be joyful about it. And that's why God directs the way He wants us to live, because He knows that He has designed things to work a certain way, and by operating the way God wants us to, that actually will enhance our life of joy serving Him. That's the reason why God will direct us. He wants us to follow His way, because that will enhance our life of joy. And lastly, it can be helpful to remember that that it's all for God's glory, because even our mistakes bring Him glory. Right? Even when we stuff up, well, it's not about us. And that can be really difficult. It can be really difficult to think about the idea that sometimes our mistakes are going to bring God glory. But it's releasing to know this is about God. And what we're going to do over the next few weeks is we're going to keep thinking about things that impact our joy. And I know we haven't got a long way tonight. We just started off, but I think this is something we need to deal with and think about. If you don't have the right perspective, if you want to find joy in a selfish world, you will not find it. If your perspective is all about you, you will not find deep and lasting joy. And we need to wrestle with that. We need to work through that, because that's the only way we're going to find joy. Let me pray. Lord, we do thank you that you are worthy of all glory. We thank you that you are a fierce protector and we are needy people, and we thank you that you have offered us salvation. We pray, Lord, as we wrestle with that idea that we want to give our lives for your glory, that we want to live for your glory, we pray, Lord, that you will help us see the benefits of that. In your name, amen.
Well, this final song is called You Deserve, which I think is very appropriate after what we've just heard. It's about us acknowledging that God is the center and we're going to give all of our praise to him. So please join us as we sing this. This is our offertory! I forgot last time.